Aren't you glad that he chose the cross? He didn't have to, but praise the Lord that he chose us. And don't let that get old for you. Always remember that. Go back to that cross. And we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 19. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. I'm glad a quarter of you do. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. All right. Now it's happening. All right. Aren't you glad you're in the house tonight? And there's no other place I'd rather be. It's good to be back. And we just spent a couple of weeks, my family and I, just 2 weeks ago, we went to Geelong. We drove there. The Andersons send their greetings, and they're doing well down there. A few new families down there that I got to meet. And praise the Lord for that. It was really very good, very encouraging, and they're doing great. Make sure you send them a text or an email or a smoke signal, a pigeon, something, just encouraging them, letting them know, because it's a lonely place. When you're out there in the ministry and you're in the middle of nowhere, it's from experience, it's a lonely place. So encourage them. Tell them you're praying for them. Send them some stuff. Amen. And let them know you're praying for them. They're doing well. And this past week, I got to be part, being a couple of the evening services for TNS. And that was my first time in TNS. Man, what a big place. Amen. Very scary place. But the Lord just did great and wonderful things there. And I wanted to mention this past week that a few of our young adults, even teenagers, had surrendered their lives for full-time Christian service. And amen to that. And be praying for them. And I know some are here, and would you be so bold to say who you are, those who surrendered for full-time service? Would you stand up? Would that be okay? Is that okay? When you're serving God, I mean, you got to be bold, amen? And if you made that decision this past year, past week, would you stand up for me? Would you? All right, we got one. All right. We got Tiana. I don't know. Sorry? Braden. And then we got James, of course. And we've got a few also. Who are the others? Titus. And that was it. Amen. Be praying for these young people. That's a big step. You may be seated. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Maybe a little. I did mean that. But that's a big decision. And don't forget that. And tonight, I do want to preach on this topic, mainly for you guys. Everybody else can listen in. And but no, there's a lot of applications in this message that is for all of us. And I want to speak tonight here on this man, Elisha. We know about Elijah, don't we? Elijah and previous sermons that we've heard just a few weeks ago on Elijah and calling down fire from heaven and also the whole thing with Jezebel. And this is actually kind of where it leaves off here with that whole situation with Jezebel. Elijah runs away, right? And God's not he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the earthquake, and he came in a still small voice and encouraged Elijah. And we leave off in that from that story, and I want to preach tonight on this topic of burning the plow. Burning the plow. First of all, praise the Lord for those who made decisions. And the decision isn't the hardest part, is it? That's the beginning, but keeping it and committing to that decision is where it gets hard, doesn't it? You know, it's easy when we're at conference. It's easy to be in an auditorium where it's highly decorated and being underneath the preaching of God's word and being around under young people and having the activities and having that excitement and that atmosphere and seeing all these young people just wanting to serve God. And I was encouraged. And you don't see that a lot in America. You know, a lot of young adults, a lot of them leave. They leave the ministry, they leave church, but man, seeing all those young adults under one roof wanting to serve God, wanting to do right for God, and it's easy to get lost in that atmosphere. But then what happens? The next day comes and we're traveling home or work the next day, school the next day, the mundane comes, life gets busy, the emotion of it all fades away. And the real question isn't, did you surrender? Did you really surrender? The real question is this, will you stay surrendered? Will you stay surrendered? Now, there are a handful that surrendered their lives for full-time Christian service, but there are many young adults also that surrendered certain things about their lives at the conference too. Some we don't know, some have made it public, and I believe there were many, many decisions that were made, and that's the easy part, but keeping that decision and keeping committed to that decision is where it starts getting tough. Here, Elisha, we see in chapter 19, Elisha was a man of God, a prophet that was called by God, and he made a decision that ensured that he would never go back. Let's go to Lord in prayer and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the decisions that were made during TNS conference, some that were life-altering, some perhaps that we would consider small, but yet decisions to you, Lord, things that perhaps they were wanting to give up, things perhaps that they want to take on. But nevertheless, they want to serve you more and more and wholeheartedly. And I pray tonight that this would be something that would help encourage our young people tonight. Maybe perhaps rekindle some fire of those that who have made decisions in the past, but perhaps commitments weren't pursued. And maybe we want to recommit ourselves to doing those things. I don't know what you would use this message to bring, Lord, to us. But I pray that Holy Spirit, that you'd be in this room tonight and that you would speak to our hearts concerning anything that you'd like to speak to us about. Lord, would you bless this time? Lord, I need you. I need you. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this message tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 19 of chapter 19. It says here in the beginning of the story of Elisha, it says here, so he departed thence, talking about Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. I want you to focus on this little part here. Who was Elisha? Who was he? What was he doing? It says here that Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was just plowing. This man wasn't preaching somewhere and he wasn't at some crusade somewhere and he wasn't performing miracles. He wasn't doing a great thing. And Elijah said, man, this guy's doing a great thing. I'm going to call him. I'm going to have him. And of course, God told him to ordain him as a prophet, but he wasn't doing something great. He was behind a plow. He was doing something ordinary, and Elisha was an ordinary young man doing an ordinary job. You know, throughout Scripture, we see that God delights in calling just ordinary people. Moses was keeping the sheep, just an ordinary job that we would think. David was tending to his sheep. They were looking for him. Where is he? You have another, a youngest. He was attending to the sheep. Peter, he was fishing. We heard about that this morning, and Peter was just an ordinary fisherman. Matthew was collecting taxes, just a tax collector. Gideon, the man who won a great battle with 300 men. He was just threshing the wheat when God found him. And God doesn't call perfect people. He calls available people. Elisha was just an ordinary person. Jim Elliot, you know him. He surrendered his life to God while he was young. He gave his life reaching the Waorani people in Ecuador. He quoted this very famous quote, "He is no fool who give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Who was he? Who was Jim Elliot? He was just an ordinary college student with a burden for missions. William Carey, he became known as the father of modern missions. He was used greatly to change the missionary movement. Who was William Carey? He was just a village shoemaker. Hudson Taylor, he left England in his early 20s. He founded the China Inland Mission. We know him. He's just such a great missionary to China. Thousands came to Christ because of his ministry. Who was Hudson Taylor? He was just an ordinary young medical assistant. George Mueller, he cared for 100,000 orphans without asking people for money. Who was George Mueller? He was just a rebellious young man before salvation. And I can testify that I was once a rebellious young man as well. And some would argue that I still am the rebellious part, not the young part. D.L. Moody, he was used to preach to millions. But who was D.L. Moody? He sold shoes for a living. He had very little formal education. And it's a great thing that God continues to use ordinary people. Not people who are renowned, not people who are famous, not people who are doing already great things, but he calls the ordinary people. And you don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be someone who is well known. God is looking for those who are available. You know, when I remember when God had called me into the ministry, it was last century, young people, last century. It was 1999, I believe, in Adelaide. It was 1999. And it was at a National Baptist Fellowship. And I remember it was a packed crowd. It was a high school gymnasium, from what I remember. And the whole place was filled to the brim. A pastor was there. He can testify. I mean, there was a lot of people there. And I remember being under the preaching, and the whole emphasis was on missions. Was talking about missions, and then later he on the third day, he preached the message and called for those who believed that God was calling them into full-time service. And I remember walking that long aisle. I thought that was 2 miles long, man, that aisle. But I remember walking down there, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." And I remember myself surrendering my life for God's service. And then later on finding out that another two fellas from my church that I was at, just a small church, also had surrendered. And then to find out that more and scores of young people had surrendered their lives for full-time service. And I'm telling you what, it doesn't take someone who's got a formal education. It doesn't take someone who is rich. It doesn't take someone who is famous or whatever it may be. God calls even just the ordinary people. I was an ordinary person before I got saved. We're still looking for the photos, but man, my hair was down to my shoulders, amen. I remember going to, pastor was there at, it was Bethany Baptist at the time. We went to a youth rally before the youth camp, and man, I didn't cut it because it was beautiful. If you had seen it, you wouldn't cut it too. I don't condone that. I remember walking into the church there and I was rough. I had a bad boy. Who knows the brand, Bad Boy? And if you're wearing a bad boy jumper, you're a bad boy. I'm telling you. And I'm walking in there, and then I had my board shorts and came from a surfy slash grungy background. That's what my friends were at school. And I remember walking in there, and I look into the auditorium, and scores of young people all in their shirts and ties and neat, and I'm walking in here like a bikie or whatever. And I thought, what am I doing here? That's who I was. I was nothing. I still am. But it's a great thing that God continues to call ordinary people from all walks of life to do His work. And Elisha was one of those people. And I don't know if you're here this tonight and you're like, you know what? I'm too young. I'm still 6 or 8 years old, or I may just be a teenager, or I'm just a student in college, or maybe you're saying I'm too old. Or maybe I'm not talented enough, or I don't know enough. But you know what? Neither did Elisha. And God chose Elisha to do His work. And God isn't looking for polished people. He's looking for surrendered people. Amen. And the only thing polished about Elisha was his head. Amen. If you all know, he was bald. Okay. And God used this man. God even uses bald people. Amen. I'm getting there. I had one hair here. I pulled it this morning, and I thought that's not coming back. Very bad decision. And we all make bad decisions, but God's good and gracious. Amen. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And don't wait till you're ready. Don't wait till you're ready before saying yes to God. Just say yes and let God make you ready. Amen. God does not begin by asking us about our ability. This is a famous quote, but only about our availability. And if we then prove our dependability, He will increase our capability. You know, God can use ordinary people and some that have surrendered their lives. I dare say that you are, well, not James, he's extraordinary, but the others, no, I'm kidding. I didn't mean to do that for you, but God calls ordinary people. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here, continuing on verse 19, you're in 1 Kings. Look at verse 19, the end of that verse. It says here, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. Mantle is like a cloak. And that mantle represented God's call, okay? That represented, hey, I'm calling you to God's service. And Elijah didn't drag Elisha. He didn't pressure him. He didn't say, you know what, Elisha, you've got to serve God. You've got to do this. And he didn't tell him to do this. He presented the mantle and he says, God is calling you to be a prophet. And he presented God's invitation and it demanded a decision. And every person must decide. When God calls us, when God is speaking to our hearts about something, when an altar is presented, and an invitation just like this morning is presented, we must make that decision and say, you know what, I know you're speaking to me, God. I know you want me to go into full-time service. I know you want me to teach that life group. I know you want me to help out with the youth. I know you want me to help with this, but you make the decision when that invitation is presented to you. And here, an invitation is presented to Elisha, and Elisha accepts that invitation. You know what? God calls anybody who is willing, who is surrendered. But the question is, will you surrender? Some of you have made this decision last week at a conference, but some of you have made a decision this morning. Perhaps you didn't come to the altar. Perhaps you didn't make a public display of your decision. But in your heart, you said, God, I'll give that up. God, I'll give this up. God, I'll give my friends up, the ones that are bad influences. God, I'll give up this sin. God, I'll do this. I'll do this because I know you want me to do that. And you've probably perhaps made that decision, and God wants to see that. that you say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. You know, a surrendered life isn't proven by just raising your hand once. It's proven by burning the plow. And this is where we're getting at. Look at verse 21. This is my favorite part. What does Elisha do? An invitation is given to Elisha. What does he do? Look at verse 21. And he, Elisha, returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen. Remember, he was a farmer. He was plowing. He took a yoke of oxen and slew them. He killed them. Does this sound good, Brother Dave? He slew them, amen, and boiled their flesh. I don't know about boiled. I'd rather smoke meat, but, anyway. And boiled their flesh, watch this, with the instruments of the oxen. He boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. This is what happens. An invitation was given to Elisha. He says, God is calling you to be a prophet. And this is what he does. He gets his oxen, he kills it, and then he butchers it, I guess, and then with the instruments, with the yoke of the oxen, yea, even perhaps the plow of the oxen, uses it, the instruments, to make a fire to boil the meat of the oxen. He burned the plow. He burned the plow. And this is the moment that changed everything. Elisha didn't simply just walk away. He didn't say, look, you know what? That's just too much for me. He destroyed his way back. The thing that he relied on, the oxen, that was his livelihood. The plow represented his future. That was to make him money so that he could live. The plow represented his future. It represented his income. It represented his security. It represented his comfort. That's what he knew. It represented his backup plan. But you know what he did? He burned it. He burned the plow. He says, you know what? God is calling me and I'm making a decision. And this is what I think about that decision. I'm going to burn the thing that I rely on and I depend on and I'm using to live with everything that I know and everything that I am, that I've been known for. I'm burning it to follow God. And some of you have made that decision. Some of you have made that decision to serve God. But have you burned that plow? Have you said, you know what? There's no turning back. I'm going to burn that plow. Or have you said, well, you know what? Let's just put it in storage for now. Maybe I'll come back to it. We talked about Peter and his boat. He came back. He says, you know, and Christ went. He said, you know, I go fishing. He went back to his boat. You know what he should have done? He should have burned that thing. At least sold it for good money, didn't right? But he had it. And some of us need to burn that plow. I remember when I had surrendered, I was 16 years old. Some of you think I still am. But I was 16 years old. The following year, I went on a missions trip to the Philippines, and life-changing. And by the way, if young people, if you've never gone on a missions trip, go on a missions trip. It'll change your life. But I remember the following year, I went on a missions trip. I was 17, I guess. And then at 18, I had to decide. Pastor, I had to decide, what am I going to do? But my decision had already been made. I knew God wanted me to serve him, and I knew the next stage for me was to go and study at a Bible college, a Bible institute. And I remember the Bible Institute that I wanted to go was here in Kippering. And I remember what that meant, being a Sydney boy. I would have to leave home. I would have to leave all the comforts and the mom making me breakfast every morning. I tell you, it was tough. And mom washing my clothes. I had to leave my friends behind. I'll leave all that behind and come to a hot, stinking place like the Red Cliff area. And I remember I gave it all up to come and learn and to serve God. And I remember again the following year, and I didn't know why God was moving me to another place. I found out the following year, but God was moving me to America to continue my studies. Now I remember, you want me to go to America, Lord? I've only been in the Philippines, and that was scary enough. I've never been back, by the way. So scary. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. Go on a missions trip, okay? It's not that scary. Not that scary. But I remember, I said, Lord, you want me to go to America? Is that where you want me to go? And I wrestled with this and wrestled with this and wrestled with this. And I remember I had to burn everything. I didn't burn my car. I did the wise thing and I sold it because it wasn't my car to begin with. It was my dad's. He would not have been happy if I had burned it unless it was fully insured. But I remember selling the car. It was a nice hot rod. It was a Daihatsu Applause. It was... I had to sell that. I had to get rid of all my stuff. I had to burn the plow, per se, to continue on moving where God wanted me to go. I remember again and come back, and the Lord had continued to place in my heart to come back to Australia because I know this is where we're needed. And a few years back, I remember having to make that decision. I said, Lord, I know you want me to come back to Australia. And if you've ever been to America, it's very tempting to not come back because of all the resources, all the churches and all the colleges and all the schools and all the glitz and glamour that come with being a Christian over there. And I thought, why do you want me to uproot my family and go to another country, Lord? But I surrendered. And we sold our place and we sold our cars and made 10 bucks out of them. I remember and uprooting my family away from what they had known. I remember that. But you know what? Young people and all ages alike, when you make a decision for God, God wants you to keep that commitment. God doesn't want you to turn back. God doesn't want you to go back. God wants you to burn that proverbial plow that is in your life that's hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. Now, before you burn your ute, young people, okay, before you go burn your ute or before you quit your job, before you leave home and say, man, I'm going to live on love, amen, get some advice from pastor first or one of the leaders in the church. But our mentality, and this is what I'm getting at, our mentality should be that of, you know what, I'll follow God without changing my mind because I made a decision. You can't move forward with God while keeping a way back. God may not be asking you to leave farming, but he may ask you to burn something else. I don't know, what is it in your life? And you may not have surrendered your life to full-time service, but maybe you've surrendered your life to be a teacher. Maybe God surrendered your life to be in the choir. Maybe God surrendered your life to be an usher, which is a noble calling, which we need some more ushers, amen. It's one of the highest calling here. And God's calling you. God's, you know, God wants you to be a Christian school teacher. I don't know what it may be, but no matter how big or how small that is, God has given you an invitation. He says, I want you to do this. And if you've made a decision, say, God, I'll do it. How well are we doing with that decision now? Perhaps in the past you said, Lord, I'll serve you in this capacity. How are you doing this tonight? How are we doing? You said, look, you know what? Whatever comes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll commit to it. I'll do what you want me to do. But how are we doing tonight? Do we have our plow just in case? Well, I might fall back on it. I might come back to it. Or have you burned that plow and said, Lord, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it. And stick to the commitment that we have. You know, God calls the ordinary people. And God wants to see our heart tonight. Have we completely surrendered to him? Now, you're here tonight and you said, man, I've surrendered to the Lord. I've surrendered. I've given my life. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Okay. Here, Elisha, he burned his plow. Elisha did something surprising next? And I want you to look at verse 21. It says, he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, young people, man, I've surrendered my life. All right, Pastor, when do you want me to preach in church? I'm ready. Pastor, Brother Skelly, when do you want to interview me for your podcast? Okay, I've surrendered now. Oh, Pastor, look, I can start work tomorrow. Just tell me when to come. Or Pastor, when do you want me to preach for conference? Selah's coming up. We've got to fill those dates. Young people, it doesn't start there. It doesn't start there. Pastor, when do I start signing Bibles? I can just sit here. I'll sign Bibles for you, Pastor. When do you want me to be in the limelight? It doesn't start there. Elisha, when he was called and he surrendered to serving God, guess what? He served Elijah for about 6 to 10 years. He still served Elijah for 6 to 10 years, probably 8 years, looking at just the history there. I know he served him through 3 kings. But here Elijah does something surprising. He didn't say, all right, Elijah, what do I do now? You want me to part the water? I'll part the water for you. You want me to call down fire from heaven? I'll do that for you. This is what he did. This is what he did after surrendering and after burning his plow. He ministered unto Elijah. He served Elijah. Okay. You know what? It doesn't begin with a big platform, young people. I know sometimes it's like, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be like Pastor Hernan. I'm ready to be like Brother Skelly. I'm ready to be like like D.L. Moody. I'll preach to thousands. Amen. That's not where it starts, though. Young people, it starts with serving first. With serving first. And Elisha served Elijah for about 6 to 10 years before Elijah went up in a chariot of fire into heaven. If you look in 2 Kings, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this. Chapter 3, verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. You know what this signified? That Elisha was busy doing daily duties for Elijah. Can you believe Pastor wants me to mow the lawn? Does he not know that God's called me to be an evangelist? Does he not know? Can you believe all they want me to do is pass out bulletins? Don't you know that one day I'm going to turn this world upside down? Well, can you believe he wants me to make sure that there's water in the fridge for the preacher? That he wants me to greet people at the door? He wants me to make sure the pews are straight? What in the world are they thinking? Don't they know that one day I'm going to be the greatest preacher in Australia? It's not where it starts. Elisha started with humility, serving Elijah by washing his hands. Just a daily duty that perhaps just one of the daily duties that perhaps Elijah had. Hey, folks, young people, you want to serve God in a mighty way? Start with the little things. Start with the little things. Hey, I want you to go clean the basketball court. Too big for that. Does Brother Andrew know? Does Brother Andrew know? One day he's going to regret this. He's going to be like, you know what? I couldn't believe that so-and-so became a well-known preacher and I made him clean the basketball court. Now, you'll appreciate it. Folks, young people, don't discount the little things that God has for you now. God wants to see you faithful in the little things. You want to serve God later on. You want God to do a mighty thing for you. Learn to brush your teeth. Learn to make your bed. Learn to get up in the morning. learn some manners. Learn some things and the little things. And God wants you to do those things before God can use you in a mighty way, just as Elisha was serving Elijah in these little daily things. You know, Elisha traveled with him throughout Australia. Maybe. It's in the NIV. Gave me this. Anyway. But Elisha traveled with him throughout Israel. He went all over the place. Elisha, he learned from him by observing his ministry and watching him do great things. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Let's see here. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. So this is the part where this is a very interesting part, the exciting part where God calls Elijah, does not see death, but gets called up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Okay, so here they're at Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." Just means shut up. And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Another place. And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. Hey, Elisha was, man, it's a tongue twister with these names. Couldn't it just have been totally different? But Elisha was so faithful in his service to Elijah that, you know what, wherever he went, Elijah wanted him to stay. He says, "Look, stay here." And Elisha says, "You know, I'm coming. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to the end." And had he not been faithful, he would not have seen this great thing where Elijah was taken up into heaven. He didn't ask, "When do I get to preach, Elijah? When do I get my ministry? When do I become famous? When do I sign Bibles? When do I get to sing a solo or preach a message? Or when do I do something great? I want to do something great. When do you want me to write a book, Pastor? I'll write a book." Amen. He didn't do those things or ask those things. He simply served. And years passed before Elisha ever became the prophet. Hey, young people, help out with the little things. That's where God wants you to start. Start by serving. Serve with joy. God notices that faithfulness, okay? Don't despise the small opportunities. If you've burned the plow, don't stand around waiting. Start serving. Find something to do. And the next thing here, and I'm done. Years later, Elijah tells Elisha three different times those things, remember? And he continued to follow him, to follow him, and to follow him. It wasn't emotion. "Oh, I just want to be with you, Elijah." That was commitment. That was commitment to serving God. You know, when the excitement's all over, when it's long disappeared and we look back and, man, that wasn't TNS a great conference? Wasn't Selah a great conference? Wasn't that Sunday a great Sunday? When all that's gone and has faded away, where will we be with our commitment that we made with God? Was it just an emotion, or are we going to stand firm on the decision that God had laid on our heart? God is looking for people who will stay faithful, not just for one day,
Not just for 2 days or for a week or for a month or 2 months or a year. God wants you to be faithful to the end, just as Elisha was faithful all the way to the end with Elijah. Can you imagine had Elisha gone back and said, you know what, it's not for me? There'd be no double portion. Do you remember that? It's the first time in the Bible where somebody said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless. And then he was given a double portion. He was able to perform twice as much miracles as Elijah did. He healed Naaman. We wouldn't have seen that. We wouldn't have seen the axe head float. We wouldn't have seen the water part. We wouldn't have seen all those things, and he wouldn't have seen all these things and no legacy. But everything God did through Elisha began the day that he burned the plow. Conference may be over, but don't go back, okay? You made that decision. Don't live in the past. Just burn the plow, the thing that's keeping you from serving God, that decision that God has given you to make. Burn that plow. Is it friends? Is it friends telling you, well, you don't want to be those type of people? Then you need to burn that. No, don't burn your friends. But you need to burn that relationship. Is it a career that, you know, the Lord has been placing in your heart? I want you to serve me. I want you to do this, but your career is keeping you back. Perhaps you need to burn that plow. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the devil has placed in your life that when God has given an invitation and you had accepted that invitation to then make a decision, and I don't know what that is that God, that the devil has placed in your life to stop you from doing that very thing. I don't know what it is, but we need to burn it. And we need to burn that plow if God ever wants to do something great in our lives, whatever it may be. I don't know if you're here tonight. I don't know what decisions you've made in your life. I know these young people that have stood up just earlier, that's a big commitment. And I'm not trying to scare you. That's a big thing. That's big league. And God wants to do something great with you, with that surrender in your heart. But many of you young people have also made other decisions to give up this or to take on this. But the question is, will you be committed to the decision that you've made to serve God in that capacity? That's the question. And Elisha was a man of God that did that and did great and mighty things, perhaps even not mentioned enough. We hear a lot about Elijah and Elijah this and Elijah that, and surely a great man of God, but we don't realize that Elisha had performed twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And it's not about numbers or anything like that, but Elisha needs to be looked at and seen, what can I do that Elisha did that I can implement in my life so that I can serve God to the capacity that God would have me serve him. You know, I love the young people who've made the decisions. You know what? The young people that we train, pastor perhaps has his heart too, for sure. You know, we don't care whether you pass us. Now, if I'm driving, I do care. Don't pass me and cut me off, okay? I'll be really mad. But spiritually speaking, you know, these men here, we don't care if you do more and more and greater things than us, because it's not about us. It's about him. And the commitment that you make to God, make sure that you stay true to it and you burn that plow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, through this whole story, we hear of men that have served you. And humanly, we say that they did these things, but they did it through you because they had a surrendered heart. And they gave their life to you. and they didn't turn back. There are many here tonight that have perhaps made scores and scores and scores of decisions for you in the past. But perhaps those decisions weren't kept, and perhaps our commitment faded away. And perhaps there is a plow that is hindering us from fulfilling those decisions that we've made in the past. Lord, I pray that tonight that we would have some people that would rekindle that commitment that we perhaps have made in the past. I know in my life there have been many decisions. And Lord, help me in my life, Lord, to say, Lord, I've had a plow, but I'm ready to burn it. And I'm ready to move forward for you. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as their own personal Savior, that's the first step. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight like that, I pray that we would be able to give them just that opportunity, Lord, to be able to put their trust in you and believe in you. Lord, tonight that perhaps some Christians, Lord, that need to remember some decisions that they've made in the past, and to reset that and continue doing what you would have them to do, Lord. Bless the young people, Lord, who've made big decisions, continue to be in their lives. Lord, I know you call ordinary people. And Lord, I pray that you continue calling people even as we speak, Lord. Bless this time right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.